Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord. Glory to your name. Now, whatever you need from God, receive it. Let him touch your heart right now. I don't care if you have an emotional need, a physical need, a financial need. Your Father loves you. He is everything to you. He will not fail you. Receive from him right now. Receive what you need from him. Receive from him. We love you, Father. We love you, Father. Thank you for all your goodness. Thank you for all your goodness to us. We thank you, Father. We glorify and praise your name. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you love the Lord today? Just tell him, we love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Our Jesus, our King, our God, our Savior, our friend, the friend that sticks closer than a brother. We love you, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. Have your way here. Manifest the will of the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Woo! But be seated if you can. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, something. I think I got an intravenous something. I think I've been mainlining the Lord or something. Something happened and I'm glad about it. Glory to God. If you're going to mainline something, mainline the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like for Angie to come. And Doug, why don't you come up here too? They just got... The message this morning had to do with humility. It had to do with, yes, while we continue to focus on the transformation process, while we do focus on the transformation, that's what this ministry primarily is all about, being conformed to the image of Christ. Ultimately, that's not really the end. Ultimately, it's to develop those fruit trees. Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruit. And ultimately, we're to come to that place eventually where other people can come because of that transformation. And they begin to pick fruit off of your tree. And again, I like the example of Pastor Dave. Why do we keep coming? You know, why do people, they love to be around Dave? Why? Because that love fruit. That love fruit, you can poke him with a stick, you know. Don't poke me with a stick. Poke Dave. You know, that love fruit can just, I don't care what you do. It's that love. And then there's the miracles and more. So I know that Angie and Doug just got back from a ministry trip, and I want to hear about it. I want to hear about what all the Lord did over there. So just.
Well, thank you. First, I want to thank all you that prayed for us while we were away. We really appreciate that. We went to Ghana. Back to Ghana, and we were there for 2 weeks. We were supposed to go back in September, but God just moved in us to send us back earlier. So Doug and I were the only two that were able to go. But we are going to go back in September. But anyhow, so many things happened. We did see a lot of miracles. I want Doug to share about some of the miracles, okay? But he did so many things, I'm trying to see what he wants me to share. One thing I saw was the people. They're so tired of the false. They want the real thing. And when Mark was sharing about the love this morning, it just was blessing my heart. Because it's that love that draws the people to you. And that's what we want to see. We want the people to be drawn to us to see Jesus. And that happened quite a bit. On this trip, we did a lot of counseling. And I don't consider myself to be a counselor. But the Holy Spirit knows everything. We were both amazed. Every time they brought people to us, the Holy Spirit would meet their needs. He would know exactly what they needed. And we would just speak. That's all we did. We just spoke what God had for them. And that was really interesting. And we went into more churches, different churches this time. And they were all connections that God put together, which was amazing to me. And he was really speaking to the people about coming back to their first love, Jesus. He had me preach on that because before I left, we were in a lot of prayer. And we were just seeking Jesus. We want to come back to our first love. And I believe God is really wanting to do that. And then we will truly be revived. And then we can really see the world change. But I preach a lot on that. Doug did a lot of teaching. You know, Daddy God, I think I'm going to open a Bible and teach, and he doesn't let me do it. Maybe I get to give one scripture, you know, but then I just have to let it come out of my spirit. And the people were so receptive, and they did not even want us to leave, you know, but of course we had to leave. But one of the things God did I thought was kind of neat. He took us to the governor's mansion. And we got to minister to the governor. I'm going to fall over. To the governor and his wife. He's a born-again believer. Gave him the book. He was so excited about Dave's book, Pastor Dave's book. They're hungry. They're so hungry for the truth. And ministered to both of them, as I said. And it was such an honor. But I saw how God changed me. I was just totally free to sit with him. Years ago, I would have probably been terrified, you know. But I saw him as a child of God, this beautiful man, beautiful couple. And they want to come to the conference, so they may be here in October. There's quite a few people that may be here. They're saying they're going to come, so we'll see what happens. We'll have some Ghana here in our church, but they're all very hungry. We gave out many books and outlines, but we gave them to the pastors and the leaders so that they could get a hold of it and they can teach their people. And that's what God was showing me. Get to the leaders. And that's what we were doing. And the way God did it, he was sending them to us. But we got them the material that they need to study. And a lot, of course, teaching them the message. You know, sometimes you got to keep repeating it. I know there are people that really haven't believed totally that it works. Well, it does work. You never stop praying and pressing into God. That's one of the things that's strong in my spirit. And fasting does work. I know there's people who say, oh, no, you don't have to fast. You don't have to pray because God loves you. You don't have to do anything. Well, that's only part of the truth. Yes, God does love us. It's not by works. But we need to seek him with all of our hearts, and we need to allow him to change our lives. He has to change us in order for us to bring change to people, and it's not about us. So the devil's really been putting lies in the people's minds. I've been seeing that before I left. I saw that. Oh, you don't have to fast. I was hearing that so much. And what we need to do is recognize it's the enemy coming against our minds. And we need to tell him to shut up. And we need to say, flesh, you be quiet and you do it. I'm telling you, this is what God, I didn't know I was going to share that, but God was showing me that for quite a while. It's a real deception of the enemy that's coming against the minds, especially those that have been praying. He wants to stop us. He's afraid of us. And it's so funny. He brings to my remembrance, I was sitting in this little lit living room by myself, just resting a little bit in between ministering, and I was just very quiet. And I heard these little voices saying, there she is, there she is. And I answered it, and I said, I hear you. And they ran. They were little demonic spirits. You know, they'll spy on you when you come into a country, you know. But it was kind of funny. It turned out they were afraid of me, you see, because I knew my authority. So you want to know your authority, and you want to use it. I don't know why I'm sharing all this, but he wants me to. I never know what I'm going to say, you know, but it's important to say what he wants. And then the other neat thing that happened, Leanne, and she came to me and she said, Angie, I want to put you on TV. Oh, TV. So I'll be on TV while I'm here. I'm going to be there still preaching. So they came, they filmed it, and I think it's Monday or Tuesday. I'll still be in Ghana. It's amazing. You know, Pastor Dave was talking about the media, you know, in these days, and it's really, it's awesome. And the other thing, the very first day, they took us out, and they put us on the radio and interviewed both of us. So there's many different things God was doing while we were away. And praying for the people, laid hands on women's breasts that had lumps. They were gone. God healed them. He was doing a lot of miracles. But I still want, I want Doug to share about the miracles. But there was a lot of great things that God did. But as usual, I'm always looking to see what God's doing on the inside of them, because that's my heart. And really sharing about their relationship with God and what he's going, what he is doing in the body of Christ in this day, of our pressing into him to come further into his presence, into his love, so that he can change us and so that they can have the good fruits to bring the people. But you see, when you come back, you got to get right back into prayer and fasting and seeking God. Because we have to go back out again. You can't think you arrived. You see some miracles. You think, oh, I arrived. I don't have to pray anymore. Well, that's a lie. You keep on praying, see? So I know that I'll be in prayer and fasting until, you know, we go back in September. I'll be in fasting off and on and seeking God and in the Word. Because you have to have something in you to bring to the people. We want to see them free. We want to see them totally free, but most of all, you know, I just want them to finally get a hold of the truth of developing that relationship with Daddy God. And I share on that a lot, because he did that, what he did in my life in it, it changed me. And when I share those things, you know, they get hungry. They get a real hunger inside of them. And they'll look at you and they want what you have. And it's up to us to show them the way to get what we have, to let them know it's for everybody. We are all special and valuable in the body of Christ. So I want to just encourage you, if you've had any battles in that area of getting into prayer, if you need to be in a little more prayer or fasting, I want to encourage you to push through. And to know that's the enemy that's been lying to you. Don't let him rob you of what God has for you to do. Because he has something for each and every one of us to do. And the devil wants to stop us. But you know, greater is he that is in you and me than he that is in the world. We are to be world overcomers. And that's what will bring the miracles to the world. And those miracles, you know, it draws them to God. And I just want to say, I always give all the glory, praise, and honor to God for what he does every time we go out. And I give him glory, praise, and honor for this last trip. It was pretty awesome. We saw more. Back in October, Pastor Dave said to me that it was going to get bigger and bigger. Well, it is. It's growing bigger and bigger. More and more people are coming and being connected one to another. And God is just drawing them to the truth. See, the truth is what's drawing them, the love of God. And the fruits that my brother talked about this morning. You don't want to go out unless you know you got some fruit on those limbs. That God has changed you. And I know I want to be changed more. I want to come back to my first love. I love Jesus, but I want to love him even more. And God really wants to bring us back to that. To remember how you loved him when you first received him as your Lord and Savior. There's nothing like it. So I want to encourage you to get into prayer, because it's very crucial right now to be in a lot of prayer. I mean, for the past 6 months I've seen that, 7 months maybe now. But I've been seeing that we need to really be pressing in. Get through that door that Pastor Dave talks about. It's more God's presence and love and glory And he wants to fill us with it so we can go out and bring it. Also, in a couple of the churches, we saw little sparks of revival breaking out, dancing and singing. And you go in, they were down. But when after we minister, and then the Holy Spirit just moved with the miracles, they start dancing. I was dancing like I hadn't danced in years, and I love to dance, you know. But anyhow, they just would dance and sing and so excited for what God did. And we were always sure to tell them after, give the glory to God. We're the vessels, but he's the one that does it. And we really try to point them to the Lord. And the other thing, just one more thing, and then I'll give the microphone to Doug. Before I even went on the first trip, Daddy God spoke to my heart. And he said, Ghana, my Ghana, my Ghana, my people do not know my voice. And I was just weeping. And he asked me, teach them my way of righteousness. And that's an assignment he gave me. And that's what I'm trying to do. Because they have been taught things that you have no idea. And they're so used to looking to people, to ministers. So we're trying to teach them to hear God's voice for themselves. That's why it always goes back to developing their relationship with God for themselves. And that's what one of the things I know I'm to do is to teach them to know God's voice for themselves and develop that, you know, through developing that personal relationship. And then they won't have to keep running to people. And they're running to people that don't even know God. Some of the people, some of the things they do there will blow your mind. I won't get into that, but there's been a lot of false doctrine around, is all I can say. But it's time. It's time for us to bring the truth to the world. And the church needs it. The church has been in so much false doctrine out there. So it's up to us to bring that truth to them. When God says go, go. If he tells you not to, don't go. He has a good reason. But when he says go, I personally know I will go. And when he says stay, I always stay. Usually it's in my prayer closet. I love each and every one of you and thank you.
Amen. Isn't she wonderful? If you think you're too old, you're not. She's 75 years young, and Miss Angie's still going, and she's very honored in Ghana, Africa, because she's 75. They'll listen to her. She'll say, you know, we need her. Amen. We need all of us. Every one of you has a mission. There's a difference. She can stand up and command the crowd that I can't command, but she can tell them, hey, Brother Doug's going to teach you the truth, then they'll listen to me. So, hallelujah. But they understand the truth. It's not all that way, but a lot of it is. And there's a lot of people that are looking for truth. And the scripture that I feel like the Lord been sharing with me is about fellowship. In 1 John, we all know the scripture where we fellowship. They talked about fellowshipping with Jesus, that which we have seen and heard. Declare we unto you that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And that's what we want to share with them, the same fellowship that we have, you can have. The same God that we know, you can know Him just like we do. They may be born again, but many people don't know how to find God, how to know Him. How can I know Him like that? And we can share the truth that you can on purpose begin to pray in the Holy Spirit, begin to develop a relationship with God the Father, and you can know Him in all His fullness, just like we know Him. And they recognize the presence of the Father. The presence of God begins to come, and they want that presence. They want that fellowship with Him. Of course we'll pray for you. Of course we'll lay hands on you and you can receive a touch from Him. But it's to help you to enter in to know Him. You can do that yourself. You can begin to worship God. You can begin to know Him and to take the same truths that we know, the same God that we know, and to say you can have that same joy that we have. And people take hold of that just like you've taken hold of it. People are hungry for that just like you're hungry for that. They come and begin to weep. I found the truth. I know it's the truth. You say, well, how do they know it's the truth? Because the Holy Spirit's the same. The same Spirit that's in them knows it's the truth. I remember giving the guy, we brought him a book, and he just knew. He said, I know this is the truth. I've been looking for years. Some of them have been searching for years. They're hungry for God, to know Him themselves. And the presence of God just comes, and He'll do everything you ever wanted Him to do. He'll do everything that's in this book, because this is the truth. His Word doesn't lie. And when you ask God to do it, He'll do it. Because we know Him, and He knows you, you see. He's with us, in us, and for us. And there's nothing we need to fear. There's nothing we need to fear. Because God is ready, and He's ready to use each of you. Hallelujah, each of us. All of us have a story. When Mark was talking this morning, I thought, boy, if you've been coming to church and you don't have a story where God showed you something in your life, just keep praying, He will. Hallelujah, you will. And you'll have another testimony, and you'll have something to share. Because there's people all around the world that are hungry for God. And miracles are important, and they're wonderful. And they're great, but it's to get hearts so they'll listen to know that they can have that same relationship with God that you have. And there's nothing that God's going to withhold from any person if they'll come to Him. Amen. Hallelujah. That's all I'm going to say.
I want you to hear a couple miracles. I thought He would do it. The blind man, that was such a big thing. This dear man was going to the doctor, and they gave him medication to put in his eyes. And he put it in every single day, each eye, he would put this medication. One morning he woke up and he was blind because they gave him the wrong medication. And they were heartbroken, right? They were just heartbroken over it. And we were having a miracle service on Sunday night, the first Sunday we were there. And I knew in my spirit, bring him Sunday night. So they brought him Sunday night. And they were so sad and so frightened, sitting there on the front row. Well, you ministered to him. He got a miracle, didn't he? He could see. He could see when after the prayer. The Holy Spirit gave, and it was just awesome to see that, to see his whole face change and a big smile on his face. And his wife, too. Her hip got healed. We had a lot of miracles on this trip. It was more than the first, and we're expecting more the next trip. And how about the lady? She was in her 80s in that wheelchair in the other church there. Remember that? And you wouldn't think you could do anything for this dear lady. Looked like she had a stroke, did she? I didn't get to ask her. But she was the first one, right, in that church. Got her right up out of the chair, and she was walking. And she was even dancing a little bit with me when we were dancing. That's a church where a lot of sparks of revival broke out. And there was a man there, too, that couldn't walk. There were all kind of miracles, but I wanted you to hear about that dear man. And I thank God that He had us prepared for that man. We don't know what would have happened to him. They were so devastated. Here you go to a doctor for help, and look what happened. And in Ghana, they can't sue him. They can't do a thing about it, you know, like they do in America. But it was just wonderful. I think we have a picture of him you took. We'll have to get it. But I just wanted you to hear a couple of the miracles, okay?
Hallelujah. Is that great or what? See, and I really admire people like Doug and his wife Lisa and Angie. And and many others, because they just eat their bread with quietness. We've been watching them for years. They don't do anything to promote themselves or exalt themselves. They're never trying to push their way into cause anything to happen, really. And whenever there's prayer called, like we used to have, and every now and then we have special times of prayer, you'll see them here. They're praying. They're fasting. And that's how you do it. You let God do the promoting, Greg, I don't know what it is. Do you have something to share? I don't want to disobey the Lord here, but I keep being drawn. Do you have something you'd like to share this morning? Well, come on. If I missed it, I missed it. But I don't know. I keep having this drawing to let Greg share something here this morning. It's that mic right there.
Well, praise God. It was funny. I was on my way here late. I know. And the Lord said that he wanted me to share some things. I'm like, Yeah, he got it right again. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, I went to Sacramento a couple of weeks ago, and the most incredible thing, everything that we've been taught here, it really does work. And the wonderful thing about it, I can still keep my sense of humor. Because I love the joke. Most of you guys know that. And when I got there, the people just loved on me. They took me to San Francisco. I got a chance to see things in San Francisco I thought that never existed. But anyway. So I got a chance to really enjoy myself. And we didn't start the meetings till the Thursday. I got there on a Saturday. And I waited till Thursday. A lot of people wanted me to go preach here and preach there. And for the first time, I said no. I said, I'm not going to do anything but the four meetings that I came here to do. So when the first meeting, you know how it is. It's the first time that I was going to preach outside of the church. I did my own work. I rented a church out and everything like that. And the people came. And, I mean, the first day it was kind of scary because I peep out there and it was four people. I'm like, oh, my God. I missed it. You know how the devil just yells in your ear how much you missed it. And so eventually before I started the service, it was probably about 40 or 50 people came. And I thank God for that. But I taught, and I had so much. You know how it is when you get ready to go preach. The ones that preaches, you have so much that you want to teach to show the people how good you are. So maybe, perchance, they may spread the word. No, I only preach probably two things. Talk about how much he loves you and how much he wants you to get to know him. And quit biting each other and quit being angry at each other. Learn to just forgive and walk in the love of God. And man, the people was like, I've never heard that before. So there goes my notes. So the next 4 days, I had them get up. People get up and begin to repent. And people start getting healed in the audience just for repenting. I had a guy come to the service. He had a growth on his chin. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to preach. I'm teaching. And he comes out of the aisle just screaming and crying and falls on his knees and said, help me, Lord, help me. And I'm like, I'm asking him to help me too. You know how, Dave, when you see your first miracle, you got to act like you have done these things before. And you say to yourself, Lord, just give me somebody with a headache or a cold or something. This man come with this big old growth and he don't even speak any English. And I'm like, oh, Jesus. So I go over there and I told somebody to interpret for me. I said, tell him I'm going to get ready to pray for him in like 5 minutes because I'm really all the stuff I thought I was going to teach on. I didn't even get a chance to teach on it. So anyway, I go over to the guy, he stands up, and I praise for him in Jesus' name, and he falls and hit the floor, and next thing you know, I see his growth begin to ooze. All this stuff started coming out of it. It was a cancerous growth. And I'm looking at it, because he was on, so I had to play it off, because I was saying inside, this stuff does work. And he's using me. So he was screaming, and it was just coming out. I had a guy that come up with, what I did was I made a flyer and posted that I was doing a prayer, power, and healing conference. They come. There's a lot of sick people. I had a guy with his kidneys, they weren't working. He was in a lot of pain. So I prayed for him, and he hit the floor. Next thing you know, the pain stopped. And I had a lot of, in this service, in this meeting there, I had a lot of older people come up for healing, but a lot of them didn't speak much English. So I had an interpreter, so I would pray for them, and I would watch their skin color change. I mean, back to normal, a lot of more pale because of the sickness and everything like that. And when I began to pray for them, but it wasn't a gift. That's the part I wanted to get to you guys, want to talk to you guys about. It wasn't a gift of the Spirit that was operating. It was just the believer's anointing. It was something that we all can do as we begin to spend that time getting to know your Father, just like Doug and Angie were talking about. I noticed that his presence, because I start feeling this off and on when I go there. This was probably my fourth time going to Sacramento. I noticed that his presence would come on my hands, and I would feel it. The ones that went with me before, and it would stay with me for a while, and then it would lift. But this time, it stayed, and it stayed, and it stayed, and it kind of scared me a little bit. I called Dave and said, Dave, something's going on. My hands are just hurting all the time, and it just doesn't go away. And you know how Dave is. It's the believer's anointing. I'm like, well, I'm praying that I believe it and they can leave because it's starting to scare me. So I went to this hospital out there. It's called Mercy Hospital. And I went there and I had to pray for a lady that had cancer. She was like 85 pounds. And I went into the room. They were expecting me, you know. And when I went in there, I seen her, you know, like I said, you got to act like you've been doing this for years. Because when you see these people sick like that, you be like, Lord, you need to give me faith. So I went in there, and the lady was really, really weak. She couldn't walk or anything like that. So I went in there, and I just prayed over her, and I just began to work with her. I worked with her for like 25 minutes, calling her healed gently, just really talking with a lot of love. And I talked to her about how God heals and gave her scriptures and everything like that. And as I began to do that, she felt pain, not pain, heat on her shoulder. Then it went down from her shoulder. I didn't know she had lung cancer. Then it went down into her chest. She felt the heat. And then she was pretty much speaking Russian, but I had an interpreter. But then the heat went down into her stomach area, and then suddenly it went back up. And she said the pain, then it went around to her side, and she said the pain is gone. And I didn't know she had surgery the day before, because the doctor's pretty much expecting her to die. She said the pain is gone, and I just felt impressed to ask her to get up. And she stood up, walked around, said the pain is gone, and you know, and everybody in the room, I didn't know they were videotaping it from the beginning of the 25 minutes. So the lady got healed. We took pictures and everything like that. And you know me, I hate to say it. I was asking every 5 minutes, do you still feel any pain? She said, no, I'm healed. I feel better. I can breathe, because she couldn't breathe at first. And the power of God went down and opened up her chest or whatever in the lungs, and she was able to breathe, and she's healed. And that's just one healing. After the other, I had telephone calls. I had people with their cell phones calling me all the way till like 1:30 before I caught my plane in the next few hours. I was still praying for people, and they was feeling the presence of God on the phone. It was the believer's anointing. It wasn't no super gift that fell from heaven. It was just the presence of God of love that was touching the people's where they were at. And I mean, hallelujah. I mean, the last service was so packed with sick people and Russians and people that didn't speak English. I had to have four interpreters trying to get what I'm trying to teach them. And I realized that I can't really teach. I just need to just tell them how much Jesus loved them and tell them that. It was funny. I was talking to the people about DNA. They couldn't find a word for DNA in Russian. It was so funny. So I was like, you're fired. Get off. Give me somebody else. They would laugh. Next person get up. But I was telling them that my son's DNA, if you want to know if he's my son, you look at the DNA and you can see that he's my son. And I was explaining that, like, Jesus is our brother, and we have the same DNA that he has, and we have the same DNA as our father have. And that's why we're in the family of God. And it was just so simple and so much love. People's backs were healed. People with cancer. Several people in the audience were healed of cancer. And it was like, wow, this stuff really works. And his presence stayed with me all the way until like last week. It just kind of lifted a little bit. And when I began to worship God, I started to feel his presence in my hands. And I was like, wow, this stuff is awesome. So I'm just excited. I have a confidence in me that I can go anywhere and see God move. Hallelujah, Jesus. And this is for everybody. All of us. You just don't know what you got until you get out there. Something that Alan told me, and it really encouraged me a couple of years ago. He said that here at the prayer center, we all are like light bulbs. We are all bright. So you really can't tell what you have until you go somewhere that don't know the truth the way we know it. They know the truth, but it may not be like we know it. You know what I mean? So when I went out there, it's like the light bulb was so bright, and I was able to teach the people. A lot of the churches came against me because the way my sense of humor is, and they don't understand it, because a lot of those churches, they teach so serious about if you don't do this right, God will punish you, because they are basically trying to control the young people because they don't want them to go out and be wild, even though they're doing those things anyway. So, but I come there with a sense of humor and joke and let them know that God is love, and God wants you to have your sense of humor and learn to just flow with him. And I mean, when I did that, a lot of the young people didn't listen to their churches, and they came. A lot of them got to experience another level of God's presence and love, and they are still telling me right now that a lot of them are changed. They don't feel the same. They are wondering about their churches and everything like that. I'm not going to mess with that. But I'm excited. Hallelujah. I'm anointed. You are too.
Hallelujah. 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 Hold up a minute. Now, I want to make sure, I want everyone to look now. Y'all can see the family resemblance, right?
Yes.
Y'all do know that Greg and I have the same mother.
The same mother.
Yeah. Eve is the mother of all living.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. And once we're born again, now we've got the same DNA as the Son himself.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Just my white brother.
Yes, I'm the white brother. Hallelujah. Well, I'm kind of enjoying this obeying God stuff. So I'm going to keep on doing it. Is that okay with you? Reuben? Now you or you and your wife, come up here a minute. I want you to testify just a little bit. You don't get nervous. You're just sharing with family. But some of what you experienced in Ohio, some of what you got from your perspective. You know, they went to the Ohio conference up at Jim Martin's, and we haven't really had time to talk, just like, 60 seconds maybe walking into the church, you know. But I just keep seeing y'all again up here, so we're just going to let God be God. How's that?
Thank you. Didn't expect this. I just want to, I want to thank God for making this possible, because I am shocked. I looked at sister there. We went to Raymond. We didn't go to Raymond with her. She went to Raymond before we did. And I said, boy, God has sure used them in Ghana. And you know how you kind of look at another minister, and, Lord, I wish I could be used like that one day myself. But anyway, we really hadn't planned to go to Ohio. And we had been listening to Brother Johnny Johnson and his wife, and they at once had planned to make this conference themselves. And they, because of a family situation, changed their mind at the last minute. By that time, we had already made plans to go. We caught a bus out there. Plane tickets were so high, we decided not to do that, so we caught a bus and saved a lot of money. Now, if you want to say something, just let me know.
Praise the Lord. I just want to say that we had a wonderful time in Ohio. We were uplifted. And Pastor Carpenter, he just really taught the word of God. You know, he taught the love of God. And he let us know that God really loved each one of us. We'll never know how much God loved us. He loved us, and he wants us to receive his love. Praise the Lord. We are the apple of his eye. And I just thank God for that conference, and we had a wonderful time. Amen.
Amen. And God blessed us to also have the opportunity to visit our oldest daughter, who lives in Hamilton, which is about 45 minutes away. And she attended the first night's service, where Pastor Dave was led by God to lay hands on, call forth people who were afflicted with certain ailments. And she was healed from an ailment that she had been suffering from for some time. She got up and testified to that. That was one major blessing that we gained from that in our family. And what really impressed me was how Pastor Jim ministers to his people. I believe he has a PhD. You would think that man just finished high school to talk to him. He's just a simple man. And that's the way God uses people. I mean, so I don't care who you are.
you can you might be the type of person who dropped out in the eighth grade. God can raise you up. He doesn't care about that. It is the Holy Ghost who works through you to make the power of God come forth in you. Amen? So if you will yield to his yearning, amen, when he comes and knock at your door, if you will pass through the door and let him use you, he doesn't care who you are. Young people over there, I look at you all the time. God want to use you. Amen. Well, see, I see that. I saw that in Pastor Jim's church. Just a simple man. Get up there, and he is on all the gifts I see manifested in his church. He's prophesying as God leads. Not as Pastor Jim leads, but as God leads. And he will surprise you the way he comes forth in a simplistic manner as just a simple man of God. That's God. Not you manifesting yourself, but God manifests his will through you. That's the way he prefers to use people. And we saw that at Pastor Jim's church. And we first walked in there. It wasn't that many people there that first day. But as the week wore on, then more and more began to come. And the next day, we know the church was filled up. And nothing changed. He kept right on letting God do his thing. Because that's what it's all about. And he had some of the best memories I have ever seen in my life. One couple opened up the door to their home. These were retired people, and they were living in retirement lifestyle. They had, what was it? They had bought a condominium, condominium, and it was beautiful. It was almost like when you walk around to the back of the condominium, just almost like God went out there and just created these beautiful oak trees. And they said, come on around to our, what do you call it, garden side of the house. And they opened their doors, and they fed anybody that week who needed a meal. Well, you didn't need one. They just said, come. Because the first day we were invited, we said, we better not come. Go, because we might be taking the place of some other people from out of the country and what have you who need the food and what have you more than we do. We said, no, I want you to come because we love you. And we went and had the best time, talked to those people like we've been on them all of our lives. And that's the way God wanted his people to be. We're just one big family. And God wants us to know, learn one another, get to know one another, and share with one another, and be a blessing to one another. You might have a problem that she knows, and God will reveal to her that he wants to bless her or heal her. Then God will put the two of you together. Why? Because you don't know it all and she doesn't either, but God knows everything. Amen. Well, that's the way God will. God is. Well, anyway, just getting back to the subject, I don't want to take up all your time. I didn't know what to say when I first came up here, so please bear with me. Well, I think I've said more than I should. Next time they have a service there or anywhere, we met some other ministers there. What was the name of that minister from Florida?
Yeah,
Hispanic.
Bronk.
Bronk, Pastor Bronk. Man, that guy, he impressed me. He would, they would call on him to come up and give an introduction for the offering. And, you know, we do it just the opposite of everybody else. We're not pulling teeth to raise money. And, well, that's the truth. Well, anyway, this man was an expert at that. He went into parts of the Bible that I didn't even consider prosperity scriptures and use them as prosperity scriptures. I said, my God, I never seen anybody do that before. You know? Well, anyway, we really had a wonderful time. I would advise you to go if you can from now on.
Hey, wait a minute. I'll make sure y'all see the family resemblance. can y'all see the family resemblance? All right. Go ahead. God bless you. Now you tell me that's not light. You reckon they're ready to, for, you know, see what I, when Greg was explaining what Alan said to him here, what I saw, we got like, if you had a bunch of light bulbs and somehow they didn't have to be screwed in, you know, they got a power source in them. And you group all them light bulbs together, like when we come together here. Well, each light bulb doesn't seem to be shining very much, you know. You compare yourself. But I tell you what, you take that same light bulb. You take it into darkness. Yeah, and it can be the worldly darkness. It can be religious darkness. Doesn't matter. If it's not the truth, it's dark.
And I mean, you'd be surprised how bright that light shines. You think that light won't shine in darkness right there?